Couldn't pick a better passage, could you, for a dedication of a church? So many individual truths here, you could meditate upon them like the Proverbs. So let's read it as a whole, from verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God bless his word.
The church of God is certainly not a building. Amen. The church of God is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church of God is the body of believers, is the people, those that have been born again by God's Holy Spirit, those that have been born again by the Word of God, that is life and truth, those that have been committed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as they are called Christians, which means follower of Christ, to imitate him, to accept his love and his sacrifice on their behalf, and then take on his life, to take his place here on earth, to go and live his life in this world and do his work, bounded together by a covenant. And this is what Grace Bible Baptist Church today has come to do. It's a joyous occasion. And indeed, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the heart of the spirit is broken. And how I'm glad to see so many cheerful countenances and faces here today. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for all of those people that came up from Sydney, and those that came from far, from parks and other places. I don't know where everybody came from, but I really appreciate your love for the Lord, your sacrifice, and your love for seeing God's work happening in this place, in Newcastle. And that's a great thing to see. God establishing another lighthouse for himself in this place. And that's why today we actually absolutely rejoice by the work of God. And we say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. A day that it took many people praying, many people searching their lives, many people responding to the call of God and coming together as we have seen together today. What a beautiful introduction to our charter service here today. But I'd really like to call on your attention to the Word of God. And as a church, the Bible tells us through the words of Peter the Apostle that we are also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. But this evening, I'd like to call your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6. And if you wouldn't mind to please stand as we read the Word of God, I'm going to read from verses 1 through 12 as we see this account of the miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ had done in feeding the 5,000. Bible says there, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, and everyone, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for this joyous occasion. We thank you for truly this is your great work, and it's absolutely marvelous in our eyes. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for this account of your word. We pray that you today would actually take, through the Holy Spirit, every heart, every ear, and help us, Lord, that we truly bring our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would bless as you challenge each and every one of our hearts. For we ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wouldn't you have absolutely loved to have witnessed that great miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did on that day? 5,000 men, other than women and children. So on an estimate, we can actually say that he probably fed around about 15,000 people. There were certainly children, as there was a lad amongst them. And he was the only one that had some food with him. But God is the God of miracles. And this blessed book is filled with the miracles of God. And every promise that God gives that is fulfilled in our lives is yet another miracle. And tonight, God is still the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what we are about to witness today, as this church is being founded in this place, is yet another miracle, because it is the Spirit of God that has caused these people to come together and to covenant themselves together, that they may be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling His will, fulfilling His purpose for us as a church. As the disciples took from the Lord Jesus Christ that bread, and yet also these fishes, I would have actually just imagined in my mind's eye how they just kept looking at the basket and seeing it not diminish. And they went around and distributed the bread and the fishes. And the people that took that bread and the fishes, I can just see them with their eyes wide open, seeing these things and literally taking that bread and eating it and enjoying it and being filled. And yet, nothing was lacking. What a miracle. To watch the Lord Jesus Christ, watch the disciples, perhaps smiling at their inquisitive glances back to the baskets, only to find them full. To see that satisfaction in the lives of those who were coming to know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all seriousness and honesty that we are in for this sort of time as we see Grace Bible Baptist Church established tonight. A time that will afford us by faith. The sort of time that will afford us the same astonishments that the disciples had with the fullness of what God can do when we offer Him what we have in our hands. No matter how little, let's remind ourselves tonight that little is much when it's in God's hands. However, in order for a miracle to happen, some people must follow. Some people must be committed. And we see here, amongst the multitude, as the Lord Jesus Christ went into the mountain and there sat with his disciples, those that were committed followers, as they looked, they saw the people. And I just say, we live in a day and age that we have very little commitment in people's lives. People just are very quick to quit. I just was preaching, was talking to a preacher just the other day, and he said to me, he's known this couple for about 35 years in Canada. And 35 years they lived together, served the Lord together, and, you know, they, he had known them, stayed with them in their house, and, you know, one day they both went home after church. They sat down on the balcony. She looked at him, he looked at her, and he said, "We're done." She looked at him in astonishment, saying, "What do you mean we're done?" He said, "I'm finished. I'm going." She said, "What do you mean you're finished? You're going?" He said, "Our marriage is over." He packed his clothes, moved into another place. As far as she's concerned, there is no other woman, there's no other person in his life. But he just came to a point to where he just called it quits. We look at our world today and we see that people are not committed. Very quick to quit, very quick to just throw the towel in and just leave. We see even in amongst our marriages, people today are just so quick to just call it off. Anybody has a problem, we just say goodbye. At work, we have the same problem. Even in churches, we have the same problem. We have Christians that are just keep hopping from one church to another, to another, to another, and they're not willing to commit themselves to one place. Do you know why you don't see miracles today? Because people would not commit. And tonight, I just want to just challenge each and everyone here together. And it doesn't matter whether you are going to be part of Grace Bible Baptist Church or you came here to encourage Grace Bible Baptist Church. Can I just encourage you first to be committed to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do not quit whatsoever. Yes, the Lord said, in this world we will have persecution, but he has promised us that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. He's promised us victory. Yes, the enemy of our souls is real. Yes, there are going to be a lot of times where the Lord will prove our faith, as he proved Philip's faith when he asked him the question. Yet the very first thing that we need to do is to be committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there were some that followed him because they saw the miracles. There were some that followed him because they were astonished at what he taught, but they were not committed to follow him. Yet the disciples experienced the miracle, and they were part of that miracle because they were committed to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they do? The very first thing, they were committed to see that crowd that was coming through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you tonight that you would be committed to see through the Lord Jesus Christ? The people saw, the Lord Jesus Christ saw the people. It ought to be our prayer and aim that we would also see the people in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ has seen them. Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing the people, he said, "You say that there is only 4 months unto harvest. Behold, I tell you, the fields are already white unto harvest." Some of the theologians tells us that as he actually looked upon the people coming, especially the way that they would be dressed, with many of them wearing the head coverings because of the heat of the day, and they would be wearing the white head coverings. As he looked at all the people coming, he saw them as white fields ready unto harvest. Do you see the people of this world as a white field ready unto harvest? When you look at a person, do you see the potential of what it is possible that this person can be for the Lord Jesus Christ? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are already white and to harvest. This is the very first commitments that the Lord tells us to take from Him, is to lift up our eyes and look onto the field. Grace Bible Baptist Church, God has placed you in a place where the field is already white unto harvest. Lift up your eyes and see why the Lord has placed you in this place. Be sober, be vigilant. Do not be limited in your vision, looking every man unto his own things, but every man also unto the things of others. Look how many other people that are in need. Look at God's saving grace. Look just like Christ when He looked and saw the multitude. When I look upon the world today, I see the need of the world. Every time I actually fly by a plane, going to, whether I go to Melbourne or go to Sydney or any place that I'm flying in, I almost have a tear in my heart when I look at the number of houses and the number of people that live in our capital cities, and I know how many or how few are the churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to look upon the world and see the people as He sees them. He was moved with compassion when He saw them, the Bible says, because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Look just like Paul the Apostle looked. Remember when he went into the city of Athens and saw the city filled with idolatry? His spirit was stirred in within him. And since that time till now, many have looked just the same way. Missionaries like Hudson Taylor, who looked at China and went to establish inland mission. Like William Carey, who went to India and became the father of our modern missionary work. Like David Livingstone, who went to Africa, and when he lived there, he said, I die here, and if I die here, don't take my body back to England. If you take my body to England, take my heart and plant it in Africa, for I love the people of Africa like the Lord had loved them. Like Charlie Haddad, who was moved by God to come to Newcastle. It was a miraculous thing. It was God's moving. And what we are witnessing today is the fulfilling of God's purpose in moving this couple to Newcastle. This is God's work. It's great. And it's marvelous in our eyes. None of us here want to take the credit. Let's give, as we sang in that first song, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. No doubt, God is able to save souls today. He's able to save souls today without us. However, if we don't get involved, if we are not committed, if we do not carry our responsibility, then we would not be able to rejoice with the Lord of the harvest, and rather we would be ashamed when He comes again. The Lord Jesus Christ said about such people who just worship Him with their lips and tongues only. He said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart. Yes, God has sent us to such a people. But on the other hand, God's grace is absolutely sufficient. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus was always about people, because His ministry was always about people. Look at our people in the world today. Our world is in absolute confusion. Everything has failed. We live in a generation, we live in the 21st century, And we live in a generation that I think have witnessed things like no other generations before have. Whether it is with technology or with the speed of change in which our world is changing, it's just absolutely amazing. And I truly, with all of my heart, believe that the stage of this world is being set for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to just lift up our eyes and know that Jesus is coming again very soon. But on the other hand, let's just also think that we have a very limited time to do the job that we have to do. We need to go out and tell them the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For only through the Lord Jesus Christ a man can be saved. For there is no name given under men, under heaven amongst men whereby we could be saved. For there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, and men, and that is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'd like to just say, we need to be committed to see people with spiritual insight just like God wants us to see them. But not only to see them, but we also need to seek them. We need to seek them. Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save that which is lost. After having seen the people and the disciples, seeing the overwhelming numbers of people that are coming towards them as they sat in that mountain, the Lord looked at Philip, and when he lifted his eyes and saw a great company come to see him, he saith to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now Jesus wanted, and he wants us to seek ways to meet the needs of people. I believe we, as a people of God here, we are concerned about seeking people. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't really concerned about, if you wouldn't want to support Grace Bible Baptist Church and their endeavor to seek the people of Newcastle. You wouldn't be even here today if you weren't even concerned about the work of God. And I praise God for each and every one of you. But just like to challenge you again and remind you today that sometimes we can make an error, and that is to plan our ministry without God. To do things in such a way, almost like Philip had done it. Lord, let me just do a bit of calculation here. You know what? Lord, we can't do it. 200 penny worth is not even to give just a little piece for each one of them. And sometimes that's exactly how we look at the job that's ahead of us. We're only nothing but just a band of small number of people. But the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not, thou little flock. For my Father has been pleased to declare the kingdom unto you." God would be pleased to work through you if you are not only committed to see through his eyes, but to take his place, to seek like he sought other people. Would you be committed to seek people today? Seek people and seek to serve people, not without God's help, but with the little that you have, no matter how little it is, even if you have to go borrow it like Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. As soon as he heard that, even though he wasn't actually, the Lord wasn't really talking to him, he was talking to Philip. And he did say that, and the Lord actually tells us, because he knew exactly what he was going to do, but he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's in verse 6. Now, can I just say, true faith must always be tested. Amen. And it's not tested so that God would know it. It's tested so that we would know it.
Amen.
God knows everything.
Amen.
And God would just wants to prove my faith and prove your faith. And, you know, may the Lord truly help us tonight to be committed to seek as he sought and be like Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew, as soon as he heard that, he actually went about and just saw a young lad who had five barley loaves and two fishes. And he came back straight unto the Lord and he said, Lord, there is a lad here, verse 9, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among those? But what are they among so many? Lord, I know that we have very little. I know that our efforts are just nothing but futile. Lord, whatever I give, I can, you know, I can't really do what you can, what you want me to do in such a, you know, in such a mammoth task that you've given us with the little that I have. But Lord, I want to trust you and I want to put it in your hand. And that's exactly what Andrew teaches us here tonight. Lord, I'm willing to take whatever I have. I'm willing even to borrow from whoever he has so that we could just serve the needs of people around us. Now, can I just say, the needs of people around us are many. And we have many needs in this world. And the world tells us that our greatest need is an economic need. And that's why every election, everything, every time that we actually switch the news on to hear anything, we're always hearing nothing but about the economy and the needs of the economy. And let me just tell you, the economies of the world have just failed. Every financial system in the world has actually failed. You know, the truth is, it's fallen a long time ago, and we keep just pumping it all falsely. We create a big hype around nothing and just keep sustaining this world in a big lie. Right. But this world has already failed in trying to fulfill any need that humans has. Right. However, our greatest need is non-economic. Our greatest need is not a political leader or a political party. Our greatest need is not education. Our greatest need is not, something that is physical for us. It's not medication. It's not that we become more powerful so that we can actually rage more wars. Our greatest need is a spiritual one. For our greatest problem is the problem of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was very clear about that. And he is really wanting to teach his disciples so that they would actually go and seek to do that which is his work. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, can I just say, you and I cannot go seek and save which is lost because we're not a savior, but we can lead them to the savior. Amen. We can still do the seeking and we can still lead them to the savior. And that's what a Christian would do. He would seek sinners and bring them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And with little that you may have, maybe you say, I'm not educated. I don't know how to read the Bible. I tell you, I've actually known many people before as a young man who couldn't even read. I was raised up in an environment where many of the old men and many of the old women couldn't even read. Yet these old men and women could actually tell you so much about the Bible and about the teachings of the Bible and would actually tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ more our educated generation today. They listened, they committed into their hearts, they meditated, and they actually were able to tell others. I pray today that God would help us, just like Philip, who was able to just practically run around, find out that which he has, and just bring it in unto the Lord Jesus Christ. His calculations failed. However, when Andrew saw that and he went into that little lad, and we see that the Lord just took that and he was able to perform that great miracle. Here's the exciting news that we need to know. And this, he said, that he would, or because he already knew what he would do. Grace Bible Baptist Church, let me just give you a comforting thought. The Lord Jesus Christ already knows what he's going to do. He already knows. You see, you don't need to be creative. You don't need to come on and start to just say, let me create another program, let me create another method, let me do it. Preach the word. Amen. Tell them the gospel. There is no greater need than to tell men and women and children the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, don't go around to just try and create new methods so that you could just say, oh, we did it because of our methods, or we did it because of our ways. Let me just say, the Lord Jesus Christ already knows what our need, and God knows what He is going to do with us today. And I believe His desire is that you and I would discover what He is going to do, and that we would get involved on His plan and not just say, Lord, here's my plan. Would you stamp it with your stamp of approval? Young men, young ladies, I know it's good to plan. But let me just say, would you plan more on your knees and get on God's plan rather than you do your plan and tell God, I want you to approve it? Be committed, not only to see, but also to seek. And last but not least, be committed to serve. If we see through Jesus' eyes and we learn how to seek people the way that Jesus wants us to do it, then we must come to the point to serve people like He wants us to serve them. He is the master servant. He is the servant leader. The example of us all that we ought to truly follow. And tonight, the greatest honor that any man, woman, and child could truly have is to be in the service of the King. I never forget when I actually told Pastor Hester that the Lord is calling me to preach. He said to me, if God has called you to preach, don't stoop down to even be a king. If God has called you to do His work, just know that fulfilling God's will in your life and God's purpose in your life is the highest goal you could ever do. Amen. Just go about seeking God's will, knowing God's will for your life, and do it. Andrew got the point. He offered a bit more than just statistics like Philip. He actually even showed a little bit, even though he showed a little bit of reluctance. However, though Andrew had no food of his own to give to the Lord Jesus Christ, he found a way through a small boy who did. And Andrew had a spirit of wanting to serve people. I don't know about you tonight, but I just wish to always see people in churches who not want to be served, but want to serve others. You know, there's always this 20-80 rule. You know the 20-80 rule? You know, 20 people serve the 80%, the rest of the 80%. You know, 20% always give what the rest of the 80% would give. You know, that's always in most churches because that's of our human nature. However, let me just say, God would have each one of you today. And I know I'm preaching here to the cream of the crop. Let me just say, may God help you to be a man, to be a woman who is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just say, well, isn't this a church service? Come on, serve me. Yes, it is a church service. Why don't you be part of the service that you offer others? Why don't you come to be involved? Why don't you just commit you can be serving others? I suppose we could say a lot of things about this young lad who gave his lunch. But let me just say, perhaps it suffices to say, he was willing to give all that he had so that he would see the Lord Jesus Christ perform a miracle. He didn't even keep one loaf of barley bread. He didn't even keep one fish for himself. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he gave all of them. But how wonderful it is that when he went home, he didn't go home with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He went with a full tummy and with a basket full of bread and fish. Because the blessings of the Lord always maketh rich, and there is no sorrow. There is no labor with it. God wants us to just be committed to serve Him. And you know what? When we learn how to serve with Him, and when we learn how to put ourselves under the yoke with Him, and when He calls us to just bear His yoke, you know what it means to bear His yoke? That means that you and the Lord Jesus Christ are yoked together in the service. And you know what? He's the all-powerful one. He's the one that is able to do everything. So my little effort is going to be absolutely measureless in with his effort. But when it's all done, I can look at these things and I say, look what we did together. And the Lord Jesus Christ just wants you to be just under the same yoke and do his work. The principle at work is, it is not our ability, nor is it our availability. However, it is our humility as we submit unto the Lord. You know why he was able to give it all? Because he knew that God can provide. He knew that Jehovah is Jireh. Jehovah is the provider, and God will always provide what we need in our lives. He will never ever leave us lacking, because when we truly love him, when we give unto him, as Paul the apostle said to the Philippian church, when he comes to the end of the letter of Philippi, he said, look, I've learned to be content, I've learned how to be abased, and learned I have to have plenty, I learned how to fast and be hungry, I've learned also how to be full, but I just want to thank you because I just received that gift from you. But let me tell you, because you gave, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. When you give to God something, God will always give back. A pressed measure, abundant, overflowing. God will never leave you lacking. And let me just say tonight, if we would truly serve with all of our effort, just give him our talents, give him our gifts, give him our money, give him everything that we have, God will never leave us lacking. Amen. Just serve. And it's said about the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, when he was at a very late age in his life, he wasn't able to attend the very last conference of the Salvation Army. And everyone waited and he never came. But finally, a telegram came. And they opened the telegram to see what General William Booth would say. The telegram had one word in it only. Others. Others. In other words, don't look unto the things that are yourselves, but look unto the things of others. Because he did not count himself, even though he was, and he is worthy, and even though he is God, he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. Form of a man, and being found in the form of a servant, he submitted, he yielded, he obeyed, and he served, even unto the cross of Calvary, that he may fulfill the purposes of God, that he may serve others. The principle is always, it's not our potential to serve, but rather his grace in our submissiveness and willingness, offering what we have as available in all humility with thanksgiving and praise to God. God will take that thing and do a great miracle in it. Grace Bible Baptist Church, you may be just a new beginning and a small church, but God has promised all power that is given unto him, he's also giving unto you. Amen. That you go out and serve people. You say, how we serve people? The greatest service we can have is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, how do we bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Seek them, compel them, the Lord says. Now, we don't compel by force. We don't compel by convicting words. We don't compel by power or by any physical means. We compel them by prayer. We compel them by love. We compel them by just insisting and inviting and serving and doing everything we can that they feel absolutely compelled to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we want to do, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, we want to present the plan, the simple, the great, the marvelous plan of God's redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said to me in the funeral this week as I preached, and I said, there is no other salvation. There is no other Savior. There is no other way to come to God but through Jesus Christ. He said, aren't you really being too pedantic and too narrow? I said to him, listen, if they told you that you have cancer and there is only one cure for this cancer, would you say to the doctor that you're too pedantic and you're too narrow and I'm not going to accept that because that is only one way and I'm not going to accept it? How funny are people? And how the 21st century thinking men have twisted the logic. We need to stand strong.
Amen.
There is no other way. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only way, and there is none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we can be saved. My heart today for each and every one here as Christian, for a heart today especially for Grace Bible Baptist Church, that the Lord would have us through His eyes commit to see people and the field that is already white unto harvest. Commit to seek people just as Jesus sought them. Commit to serve people following the great master servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. As a fictional story that is said, and I'd like to close with this, it is said that when the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled His redemption work, and after having rose again from heaven, appeared on this earth for 40 days and taught the disciples and then ascended into heaven, that He met Gabriel the angel. And Gabriel the angel looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, what are all these injuries and wounds that you have? Boy, you must have really suffered a lot on the hands of these men that you truly loved. He said, I sure did. But I still love them. And I love them until the end. He said, Lord, you told them of your love. You told them of your way of salvation. And those people have accepted it, but who's going to tell the others? Who's going to tell the rest of the world? He said, oh, I left some committed people there to tell them. He looked at him with a frown and he said, but Lord, what if they fail to tell them? Don't you have another plan? Don't you have something else that you can do? He said, no. I'm trusting them that if they truly experience my love, they will tell others.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's still the same today.
Amen.
God has no other plan. It's you and me who've experienced God's love. We need to go out, see through His eye, seek them as He sought them, and serve them with His love. May the Lord truly bless you tonight. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, as we close our meeting today, before we move on to the next step as what we call the charter or the constitution of Grace Bible Baptist Church, if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, I just don't want to prolong this, but I just want to pray for you. If God's spoken to you here tonight, maybe you just say, Pastor, I'd love you to pray for me. And I don't want you just to raise your hand. I plead with you. Do not stand, do not raise your hand if you don't mean it. But if you truly mean it with your heart, you say, Lord, I want to see through your eyes. I want to be committed to seek as you sought them. I want to serve others with your love, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we pray at this moment, maybe you want to stand, maybe you want to raise your hand, whatever it is, just at this time, just stand up or, you know, raise your hand and just say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Help me to seek as you sought. Help me to see as you saw. And help me to serve as you served. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you tonight for the challenge that you have given us here. Thank you for this wonderful story, and thank you for the great miracles that you are still in progress making in the lives of many Christians throughout the world. Lord, tonight, as we witness this great miracle, the birth of yet another church, our heart is absolutely overwhelmed with great joy for your great work and the work that you're doing through your Spirit. And I pray, dear God, that you would just bless Grace Bible Baptist Church. I pray your special blessing upon the pastor of this church, Pastor Charlie, his family. Lord, you would actually raise a hedge around them of protection. Father, that you would bless each and every one as a member of this church, as a founding member today, Lord, that they would be bound together through your Holy Spirit in unity, that there will be one team doing and fulfilling your purpose and will in serving you in this place. Father, may you truly continue to lead this church from victory unto victory. And thank you for those that have committed their lives tonight and have expressed their desire either by raising their hands or standing up. Now I pray that you would give special grace that we may truly not just make a decision lightly, but Lord, that we would follow with dedication, with commitment, with meditation. And Lord, every day we would renew this commitment in our life to truly see others, seek others, and serve others as you did. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Can I just at this time ask for the pastor of Grace Bible Baptist Church and his wife maybe to come over, as well as all the members who's going to be founding Grace Bible Baptist Church. In other words, if you're part of this church, you're already baptized, you're already spoken to Brother Charlie about being committed to be a member in this church, can I just ask you to just make a bit of a semicircle around me here? All the members of Grace Bible Baptist Church, if you'd just please come forward, just stand around in here. Thank you. Okay, that's a wonderful scene, and I really praise the Lord for each and every one of you. But tonight, before the Lord, I'd like to ask Pastor Charlie some questions to which he would answer, and then after that, I'd like to ask you maybe two or three questions. Publicly, we are coming here as a group of believers who have been born again, who've been baptized, and some of you may be under 18 or children. It's fine to come up and stand signing the historical record of the church. I'm just going to ask you to go back after, but I'll just stay at this moment so that we can actually do this first part. Pastor Charlie, would you please first reaffirm your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and Lord? Would you reaffirm that now, please?
I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Do you believe that the scriptures of both the Old and the New Testaments are the Word of God, totally trustworthy and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that God's Word is the church's rule of faith and practice?
Absolutely.
Amen. Have you been totally and only induced, as far as you know, in your own heart, to accept the office of the elder or pastor by the love of God and a sincere desire to promote His glory in the gospel of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Amen. Do you sincerely believe the articles of faith that are agreed upon in the constitution of this church, Grace Bible Baptist Church, that they contain the truth taught in the Holy Scriptures?
Yes.
Amen. Do you promise that if any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the statements in the Articles of Faith and the Covenant, which will be read before us soon, you will, at your own initiative, make known to this church the change which has taken place in your views since your assumption of this vow?
I will.
Amen. Do you subscribe to the government and the discipline of this church, Grace Bible Baptist Church?
Yes.
Amen. Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in promoting the truth of the gospel and the purity and peace of the church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise to you on that account?
Amen.
Amen. Will you be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a shepherd or a pastor, whether personal or relative, private or public, and will you endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life and to walk with exemplary piety before this congregation?
By His grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you now willing to take personal responsibility in the life of this congregation as a pastor, to oversee the ministry of Grace Bible Baptist Church, to devote yourself to prayer, the ministry of the word, and the shepherding of God's flock, relying upon His grace alone, in such a way that Grace Bible Baptist Church and the entire Church of Jesus Christ will be blessed?
Amen.
Amen. And with God's help, lastly, would you please appoint the two men that from the founding members that have been agreed or appointed as secretary and as treasurer of the Grace Bible Baptist Church?
Secretary Nathan Bird, treasurer Michael
Pugh. Okay, gentlemen, can you just step out a little bit just so that others can actually identify you? So secretary, Brother Nathan, and the treasurer is Brother Meek. Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to ask the congregation a couple of questions at the moment. Sorry, I turned my back to you. But to the congregation, let me just ask, do you, the members of Grace Bible Baptist Church, acknowledge and publicly receive this man as a pastor and a gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to your church?
Amen.
Amen. Will you love him and pray for his ministry and for his family, to work together with him humbly and cheerfully, that by the grace of God you may accomplish the mission of the church, giving him all due honor and support in his leadership to which the Lord has called him, to the glory and the honor of the Lord God? Amen. Last question. Will you sincerely also commit that you also agree with the articles of faith and the covenant of this church that will be read now, that it contains the truth and that it's taught in the Holy Scripture, and that you agree herewith before those witnesses? Amen. Well, Brother Charlie, at this time, I'd like you to come forward and read the covenant of Grace Bible Baptist Church.
We have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and having been biblically baptized, desire to become a member of Grace Bible Baptist Church, to submit ourselves to God, and to endeavor to keep unity among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in agreement with the statement of faith of Grace Bible Baptist Church and its constitution, and have a desire to support, by God's grace, the purpose, mission statement, and the four principles of Grace Bible Baptist Church, which are as follows. The main purpose of the church is to bring glory to God in all that He's done. The mission statement of Grace Bible Baptist Church is to endeavor to give their life to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, and reaching others with the precious gospel for the glory of God. And the four principles in which we'll live by is to praise, love, and glorify God, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ,
amen,
to prepare the growing grace, and a passion to love and serve others.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Charlie is going to have the charter document on the table there. I'd just like to ask anyone under 18 at this time to return back to their seats, and those that are over 18 that would like to become the founding members of this church. The reason why you're under 18, you can't, you know, because the Constitution basically say you don't have any voting rights and not signing rights at this time, but when you're over 18, you can, okay? And for the rest, if you could just form a queue and sign right there against your name, and as you sign your name, you can go back. Thank you. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. There's one other thing that I'd like to do before I actually hand over back the pulpit to the song leader to close with a final song and prayer. It's a joyous occasion for us as Faith Baptist Church to be up here. This is an absolute God's work, and you know, I just want to, on behalf of Faith Baptist Church, I want to say to Grace Bible Baptist Church, we praise the Lord for each and every one of you. We see you as you know, a child that has been born from us. And God wants us to be reproducing Christians. I think every Christian ought to produce other Christians. I think every church ought to produce other churches. And we praise God for that. And on this blessed occasion, we have a little plaque that we'd like to present to you. And the plaque basically says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118:24. Presented to Pastor Charlie Haddad at the Charter Service of Grace Bible Baptist Church on the Saturday, the 3rd of November, 2012. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And we continue to pray unto God for further fruit in reaching Newcastle and its region with the gospel and to advance the cause of Christ and His kingdom. On behalf of Faith Baptist Church, God bless you, Charlie.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.